Mark chapter 2 this morning. And before I start, I want to thank everyone for your giving. Appreciate everybody that gives, that helps us keep all the ministries going around here, and appreciate those that give online. I know we have a lot of, you know, people during this time that are watching online. They can give online. You can go to hfchurch.com, and we have a giving tab there for your tithes and your offerings, and we appreciate everyone's giving. But we're going to get in this word today, and since I've been out of the pulpit for 2 weeks, and I want to thank Mark for bringing the messages. Mark did an awesome job bringing the word while I was gone, and I've been praying about, God, what do you want me to bring for today? There's so much happening in our world, in our nation, and I feel like the Lord gave me direction for today and for all of us, that this be at the forefront of our minds. As I said earlier, whenever we started into all this, there's a lot of spiritual warfare going on, and the spiritual warfare that's going on is trying to take people's mindsets, you know, and twist them, and get you believing something, believing a lie. And there's a lot of that going on right now. And so today, the title of this message is New Wine for New Wineskins. It's going to make sense here in a little bit, but it's in Mark chapter 2 is the main text that we're going to look at today, plus some other scriptures. But I just want to start off and let us all know this, that no matter what happens, God is in control. Amen. And as Christians, though, the most important thing as Christians, as believers, we need to live and act like it. We don't need to live in panic or fear. We know where that spirit comes from. The spirit of fear is from the enemy. All right. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. So we need to live and act like God is in control, because he is. And that's what's going to reach this last day harvest, is when we're living with peace and joy and all the fruits of the Spirit. We're going to reach people with the love of Christ. But it's easy. If you're listening to the media and you're listening to everything, it's pretty easy to get over into that fear and that panic mode and not knowing what's going to happen. But I just want to encourage all of us today that no matter what is going to happen, God is in control, all right? And he's going to lead and guide and direct us by his Holy Spirit. So in the midst of all this, I've asked the Lord, I was like, Lord, what am I called to do? You know, I know I'm a pastor, but I want to lead this flock correctly. I want to say what you want to be said, not what I think needs to be said. I don't want to use this pulpit for anything else but preaching the gospel. There's a lot of times I want to get up here and get on my political soapbox too. And I'm not saying that there's not a time for us to speak up and do all those things, but here's what the Lord basically told me to do. He said, Mark, what I want you to do and what I want you to teach the people that come to your church is I want you to defend the gospel, promote the gospel, and let the power of the gospel change lives. And I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do then. I'm going to defend the gospel, and it's going to take words to do that, your words and your lifestyle. Defend the gospel, promote the gospel, and let the power of the gospel change lives. And I had a situation happen here a few weeks ago before I got COVID. About a week before I got COVID, I had, most of you know this, been a bivocational pastor. That just means I have other sources of income. I am a realtor for Moxie Realty out of Elk City. And I had a deal come through, a lead come through from a family that lives out of state, and they were wanting to move to Oklahoma, specifically Elk City, Oklahoma. Never met them before, didn't know this couple at all, this family, awesome family. The first day that I met him and I was showing him houses, and that's where you kind of get to know him, you know, you break the ice, get to know him, what brings you to the area, all this, asking all these kind of questions. And the husband, he told me, he said, Mark, I'm just going to just tell you how it is for us. He said, and he didn't use any political party or anything like that, but this is what he said. He said, people in my area don't share my beliefs or my values or my mindset. I was like, wow. And I could tell his wife, she was really, she knew that they needed to make this move, but she told me, she said, Mark, our family has lived in this state and in this particular town for 4 generations, and God's telling us to move to Oklahoma. And they do have some friends here and things like that. I mean, they're just not coming out of here, you know. They have a few friends here. And it made me think of this. In the Bible, it talks about that there's there's sheep and goats, right? And the Bible also talks about wheat and tares, and it's talking about individuals, but it's also talking, I believe this, there are sheep states and there are goat states. There are wheat states and there are tare states. And I thank God that Oklahoma is still a sheep state and a wheat state. All right, and we got to keep it that way in the name of Jesus. I do believe that Oklahoma is going to be one of the states that's going to usher in this last day revival. I really believe that with all of my heart, and bring people in the kingdom of God. Amen. But we got to realize that God is in control. And that really got me to thinking, this couple, when they told me that, they didn't share, like I said, they didn't say any political party, anything like that. I knew what he meant, though, but he just said, people in my area, Mark, don't share my beliefs or my values. Now, I'm going to say this about the difference between men and women. I could tell he's ready to move. She wasn't, because she had things invested there. And it's a difference in men and women. Women can get really emotionally attached to places, right? Let me get my mic straight. And so it made me think of, remember Lot's wife. And I'm not just talking to the women, I'm talking to men too. Don't get emotionally attached to anything. This is not our home. Amen? Our home is up there. We're citizens of heaven. And so I just feel like I need to throw that in there too for all of us. I don't know, you know, I'm not saying God's going to tell you to do like this family and move to another state. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying we have got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and know that God is in control. And so it made me think, when I was thinking about this family, and I've been thinking about them for several weeks now, as I've been working with them through this whole process of buying a home here in Oklahoma, and I was like, Lord, there's something more that you're trying to tell me through this, and I want to know what it is. And this is the phrase that I feel like the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He said, Mark, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. Okay? Because I was like, well, man, they just need to stay there and knuckle down, buckle down, and here's the deal. There are strength in numbers, you know, and so that's why they're moving. They know they need to get around like-minded people. And so you can't put new wine into old wineskins. And immediately the Holy Spirit took me to the scripture where Jesus talked about this, and this is in Mark chapter 2, verses 18 through 22, and this is what we're going to read today. It says, the disciples of John and the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, why do the disciples of John and other Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. That wine is spilt, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. And so our main scripture I want to focus on today is Mark 2, verse 22, where it says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined, but new wine must be put into new wineskins. And if you're like me, when I first read that, I was like, what in the world is the Lord talking about? And so in their day, whenever they, with wine, and we sang about that this morning, the pressing and the crushing, they would put the new wine, they had to put it into new wineskins, which was actually like made out of goat skin or whatever, so that as the wine fermented, that it would, you know, the new wineskin would work, was pliable and everything, and work with the new wine. And so he was saying you can't put new wine into old wineskins, because the old wineskins would just burst, and then you'd lose the wine and the wineskin. And so to make this simple, because I'm very simple, and I believe the Lord's very simple, he uses simple storytelling here or to show people what he's talking about, what he was showing the Pharisees and the disciples of John the Baptist that day was this. He said, and this is number one, I'm going to give you three things out of this passage. Number one, Jesus gives new wine. And I'm going to read that again. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. The new wine that Jesus brought was the new covenant. That's what he's trying to tell the disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees that day when they were asking questions. They were saying, hey, your disciples don't fast like we do. They don't do all this outward stuff. And he says, well, it's because I'm with them right now. There'll be a day that they fast when I'm gone. But right now I'm with them and they're not going to fast because I am the new covenant. And Jesus was basically telling them, I have come to make things new. And what was going on in that time, the Jewish people, Jesus was a Jew, right? Okay, in the Jewish culture, what was going on was their religion was Judaism. And that came back from the Old Testament, the Torah and all that. But over time, man had got in there and added all kinds of rules and regulations and all kinds of stuff, sucked the life plumb out of it. And it was just a religion, a dead religion. And here's Jesus coming on the scene, and he's basically telling them, guys, I'm not bringing a patch to Judaism. I'm not going to patch it up. I've came here to bring a whole new thing. And that new thing is Christianity. It is a relationship with God the Father through me. And here are the Pharisees and John the Baptist. Even John the Baptist followers were like, what's he doing to add to John's teachings? Pharisees were like, what's he doing to add to the Torah? And he's like, no, I've came here to bring a new covenant. I'm not adding to anything. He said, I've came to make a new covenant. So this goes back to Jeremiah chapter 31. I'll read a couple of passages out of the Old Testament where it talks about this new covenant. And the prophet Jeremiah, and I'm going to read out the prophet Ezekiel too. Both of these prophets were teaching people back in that day about the coming of the new covenant, and they couldn't wait to see it. It says, man, guys, we are living in the new covenant. Amen. It says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. So there's the old covenant. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember, and their sin I will remember no more. That's the new covenant that he was talking about in the Old Testament, Jeremiah. Now look at this in Ezekiel. Ezekiel talks about, it says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of the stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. See, in the Old Testament, the spirit came upon people. It didn't come inside of them. It came upon them. So this is looking to the new covenant. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Isn't that awesome? Guys, that's the new covenant. That's what we're living in today. And how many of you have tasted the new wine? Got the new wine in you? All right. Guys, when I tasted it for the first time in my life at the age of 23, I was like, I've got to have more of this stuff. This is the real deal. And it put a desire within me to live a godly life. Am I perfect? No. But it put a desire in me to live a godly Christian life. That new wine did. What we just talked about in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. So Jesus gives the new wine because Jesus is the new covenant. Does everybody see that? He didn't come to patch up. Here's another thing that I want to throw in there. Jesus didn't come to patch you up. He came to make you new. Amen. And we need to realize that. You know, God didn't come to patch up my sin. He came to make me a whole new creation. All right, here's number two. Number two, old wineskins cannot handle new wine. And this is where we've got to remember this. And guys, if you've been in church for any length of time, you've got to keep your wineskin new and receiving from God daily. Don't think that you've arrived and you got it all figured out. Amen? Old wineskins cannot handle new wine. This is in Mark 2:22. I'm going to read it again. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilt and the wineskins are ruined, but the new wine must be put into new wineskins. You know, there are some things in life that just don't mix, guys. All right? For instance, oil and water, they don't mix, right? Ragu sauce and watermelon don't mix. All right, don't ask me where that came from, but I just threw that one in there. Here's one I learned about this week that I found out that I thought that it didn't mix, but now I know that it does mix, and that's chili and cinnamon rolls. Looking back here at Weston and Anita, they had that on their special yesterday, and that's a Kleinsmith trait. That came from the Kleinsmith family. The first time I heard it, I was like, ooh. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, that might taste pretty good. You know, that sweet and salty. But it goes together, okay? Chili and cinnamon rolls do. But here's the deal. When I go back to what I'm talking about, the same is true for truth. You cannot mix truth and lies and still get truth. And that's what we're seeing in our society today at a rate that I can't even fathom that it's happening. And here's the deal, guys. I've been sitting around thinking about all the stuff that I hear and see, just like you do. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And God told me, He said, Mark, it's not going to get any. It's going to keep getting darker. But what I'm wanting to do is I want my church to get brighter. And that's what's going to be happening, is as the world gets darker, the church is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. You cannot mix "there are many ways to God" with "Jesus is the only way to God." You cannot mix "all roads lead to heaven," young people, really listen to me on this, with "there is salvation in no one else but Jesus," Acts 4:12. You cannot mix those together. It doesn't mix, and the world is trying to do that. It's trying to infiltrate in this church this wrong mindset about the gospel. You cannot mix any other religion with Christianity and get truth. There's people out there trying to mix Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Wicca, Native American spirituality, New Age. The list goes on and on and on, a host of other religions that they're trying to mix with Christianity to get the truth. Christianity stands alone. And it's based on a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So you cannot mix the gospel of Jesus Christ with other religions. Now, a lot of us know that. Most of us in the church know that. Mixing religion, religion is more obvious to all of us here today. However, there's another mixture that is even more deadly, and it's when we mix the saving gospel of Jesus Christ with some good deed or action that we've done. That's another poison that we can't get over into, and that's called religion and legalism. That's what the Pharisees were doing. Well, we fast these many days. We have all these rules and regulations that we keep. We tithe on every little bitty thing down to the penny and all this, and so therefore we're saved. And it's like, no, that's not what brings you salvation. There's going to be good works from your salvation, but let me explain that. Jesus, I'm going to give you just a few that I wrote down today. Jesus plus baptism. When you get saved, you're going to want to be baptized, but that doesn't save you. Everybody got that? Because there's a lot of people out there that you got to do Jesus plus this to be saved. No, you don't. Yeah, you need to follow in obedience to the Lord. The scripture that I always use with people on that, this Jesus plus baptism, is, the thief on the cross. Jesus didn't tell him. He said, man, golly, if I could just get off the cross, we could go down here to the Sea of Galilee and I could baptize you and then you get to go to heaven with me. No, he said, today you're going to be with me in paradise, when he called out to Jesus. So it's Jesus plus nothing is salvation. Receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior plus nothing is salvation. So it's not Jesus plus baptism. And here's another one, Jesus plus good works. When you get saved, you're going to want to do good works, but those good works don't save you. So it's not Jesus plus good works. It's not Jesus plus religious activity. When you get saved, you're going to want to pray, read the Bible, fast, and give, but those religious activities cannot save you. It's Jesus plus nothing, just plus your faith in Him is what brings salvation. All right, every young person heard that? Because there's a lot going on trying to warp your mindsets, guys, into believing something else. You got to believe the truth of the gospel, all right? Mark and I were talking about this week. The only thing that's going to stand the test of time is the Word of God. Everything else is going to pass away, the Bible says, but the Word of God, but the gospel. Here's number three. New wine requires new wineskins. So this new covenant requires new wineskins. There it is again, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but new wine must be put into new wineskins. I'm just going to read some scriptures real quick, just ones that came to my mind that show you that Jesus is the only way, all right? And the first one is what Jesus said. Jesus said to Thomas, said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, when I was preparing this, I was like, God, everyone, I feel like everyone in our church is saved, all right? And I felt like, okay, so I'm going to be standing up here preaching to the choir. And the Lord said, no, the choir needs taught. You know, we all need taught. You need taught. The choir needs taught. Because they're being bombarded with this, and their circles of influence, you're going to find people that are trying to worship Jesus, but also worship other gods as well. And it don't work that way. Amen. Even here in Oklahoma, even in the Bible Belt, this stuff is going on. So John 14:6, Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, and that name is Jesus. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're not a patch job. You're a new creation. Amen. You're not a patch job, Mark. You're a new creation. Now, what I want to tell all of us today, and I know, like I said just a while ago, that I'm preaching to the choir, but you're going to be coming into contact with people that I'll never come in contact with in your family, friends, coworkers. And I want to tell you what salvation is real quick, all right? Salvation is something that happens to you personally. It's personal. Salvation comes to us individually when one follows Christ. No one gains eternal life because of someone else's faith or by his or her affiliation with a family, a church, ethnic, or national group. Each person must place their faith in Jesus Christ. You can't go to heaven on grandma and granddad's faith. Or your mom and dad's faith. You got to have your own personal faith. Young people, you got to have your own personal faith. And what I can tell you is I wish I'd have got it before the age of 23. I wish I'd have got it at your age. So get it now. Get it now. Get that new wineskin now. Get that new wine into that new wineskin now. And then the second thing is consciously. To inherit the kingdom, one must do more than reflect the morals and the ethics of Jesus. One must consciously embrace him, knowingly and intentionally following Jesus. And you don't accidentally get saved. It is a conscious decision. Don't accidentally get saved. It's a conscious decision. Then explicity is the next word. Explicity. To be born again, a person must place their faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, not just in God generically. Because you hear people all the time, I believe in God. I'm like, well, what God do you believe in? Because there's a whole bunch of them out there. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one true God. And believing in the existence of God does not save you. Believing in God's Son, Jesus Christ, does. And singularly, that's the word, faith in Jesus alone saves. And saving faith must be placed in Jesus alone. This is especially important on the mission field where missionaries encounter religions. Guys, and I know I'm saying this about on mission fields, but it's happening right here in our nation too, such as Hinduism, where they are happy to add Jesus to their pantheon of gods. And we do not add Jesus to our portfolio of faith objects. Christianity is not both and proposition. It is either or. And everybody said, that's what salvation is. And that's what I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you guys today, because new wine for new wineskins is the word for today. But we all have to be, our church, as we need to be equipped to defend the gospel, to promote the gospel, and to bring the gospel, the power of the gospel, to change lives to other people. Guys, we are living in a day where that's, I promise you, in the days ahead, that little scripture that we read in Romans that says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're not just going to be quoting it, we're going to be putting feet in action to it. And that's what's going to be going on in our world. And guys, for one, this church is not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to preach the truth. Amen. It was creation, not evolution. There's another mix. It's male and female. Amen. Okay. So those are the kind of things that we have got to stand upon in these last days. And sometimes it's just going to be the word that I've heard from prophetic voices for this year. Is the spiritual warfare, we're just going to have to stand on the promises of God. But you're going to have this pre-made decision of having your mind made up that, no, I'm a new wine. I've got new wine in my new wineskin. Amen? And that's what you got to stand for. Guys, I want to encourage you that God is in control. Amen? And be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. And we're going to need each other more than... Dusty sent me a scripture this morning about don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. We need each other more than we ever have. We need each other. And I understand that with the virus and everything, that thank God we have technology. I don't know how long it's going to be there. I'm just going to tell you that. How long we're going to be able to, you know. So we're going to really need each other in these last days. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to let you know that God is in control. And we've got to defend the gospel, promote the gospel, and share the gospel with others. And everybody said, all right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I do this every Sunday, and I just want to make sure before everyone leaves, what I've been talking about today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that to be saved, that we have to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that we have to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer called the prayer of salvation. And this is where you're just saying, Lord, come into my life, make me a new creation. Your next step of obedience after doing this is water baptism. Now, that doesn't save you. What saves you is you doing this, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer, and even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. We can do that next Sunday. And guys, did everybody learn something today? Hope it blessed you. Guys, stay safe, stay healthy. But I want everyone to stand up in here, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you out of Numbers chapter 6, what the praise team, that last song they sang about. And I believe in the power of the spoken words, definitely the power of speaking blessings. I want to speak this over all of us today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Say you got new wine.